The brother of a British doctor who disappeared in Syria a year ago during a humanitarian mission has told this programme his brother's being held against his will at a military prison in Damascus. It's understood Dr. Abbas Khan from Streatham in South London was arrested for entering the country without a visa. He hasn't been charged with anything. After officials in the UK and Syria failed to find Dr. Khan, his mother, Fatima, flew to Syria in July to look for him herself. She's now found him and visits him once a week in jail. His weight has dropped to around 5 stone, and his mother says she's seen evidence of torture on his body. She's vowed not to return home to London until her son is released. Mrs. Khan's other son, Dr. Shah Khan, is a research fellow at the Royal National Orthopaedic Hospital, where his brother used to work. We'll talk to him in a second. Also with us, Neil Salmond, Amnesty International's Syria researcher. He's worked with people who've been detained in the same prison as Dr. Abbas Khan. Welcome, both of you. Dr. Shah Khan, first of all, tell us what your mother has said about your brother.
Good morning, Victoria. She's been fortunate enough to meet him. She said that he's obviously been very distressed. He's been there in prison now for a year. Going along with that, there's health issues, and his psychology is obviously very low, his morale's low. Fortunately, he's in a better condition now than he was a few months ago, and he has access to my mother and to food, and his weight's picked up a little bit. But obviously he's in the dark at the moment about his current predicament, why he's being held, what his fate may well be, and he's kind of turning to her and asking her, you know, where's the assistance going to come from, and who's going to help me in, you know, the dire situation that he finds himself in.
How did your mother manage to track him down?
Through great difficulty, and she's a very tenacious lady. She's never been out of the country alone, in fact, and since probably her teenage years, never been alone for longer than a week. She travelled to Lebanon in March or April and has managed to lobby the officials there to grant her a visa, because that's one of the difficulties at the moment for British nationals getting access into Syria. And as soon as she got it, she was on the next flight over, despite our protestations. And she made her way into Damascus and has contacted officials there and gone to the Russian embassy, the Czech embassy, who are the UK representatives in Damascus at the moment, and various different government offices within Syria. Unfortunately, some of them were very kind and helpful towards her and kind of did some digging, but it's difficult. The information is hard to come by. She doesn't speak the language at all, and she doesn't know anyone else there either, and we have no personal ties to Syria. But she managed to kind of pull the coattails of the right people who managed to track down my brother and kind of at least give us assurance that he was alive, or give us some sort of contact with him.
How old is your mother, do you mind me asking?
She's 57.
Right, so she went there on her own, and was she alone?
She was alone, yes. I mean, no one else could go with her. No one else has a visa. And obviously for us, we were deeply concerned. She was there when Western forces were considering some sort of military action against Syria for chemical weapon infringements. And we all had our hearts on our mouth, and it's been a distressing year, as you can imagine, but it was particularly anxious moments at that time. She's seen some things that she'd never expected to see before. She's lived in London her whole life, so it's been a very difficult time for her, but for my brother particularly.
But she managed to find him.
Yeah, it's a remarkable story that people obviously took sympathy with the fact of a grieving mother, and I think she's done everything in her powers to make people understand the plight of a mother, and I guess that's universally it pulls at the heartstrings, and people relented. But it's been difficult because we've had so little assistance from any other avenue, really, and the drastic action of her going out there alone was taken because we almost destitute, really, of how we could get out of this predicament. And my brother's a young man, he's got his whole future ahead of him, he's got a very young family, and not knowing whether he was alive or dead or what sort of condition he was in, we're a very close family, so he's never not had contact with each other for longer than a week. So we were in great distress, and that's what we were driven by, largely.
What work was your brother doing there, and did he realise he needed a visa?
My brother's a trainee surgeon, a trainee orthopaedic surgeon, and we've been grown up by our parents and our medical education, inculcated with an idea of using the skill set that we have to help others. He was in a sabbatical year. He's always wanted to do relief work, and I've got another brother's doctor and myself, both been interested in it, and he had the opportunity, the time to go. He had the skills required, and he had raised some awareness with the medical industry, and he'd raised, he took with him £20,000 worth of emergency medical equipment. He had gone and seen the plight of the Syrian refugees and the children and the women that are caught up in the humanitarian disaster that's unfolding over there. It was well publicised. He speaks a little bit of Arabic, so he thought he was in a unique position in his life to offer some assistance, and that's why he went. Whether he knew he needed a visa or not, I'm not sure. I think the border around that area has become rather porous. And he had seen people crossing there who were saying there were people caught up in deep conflict who couldn't make it out to Turkey, and that were in need of immediate medical assistance. And I went out there when he initially went missing. I went to Turkey myself to gather information. And as a doctor, you feel almost duty-bound to help and give assistance. And your own safety sometimes takes a secondary importance when you're placed in that situation.
What do you want to happen now?
Well, our position really is to ask MPs and peers and people with in a position of influence to lobby the government in Syria and to really make a case that my brother's an innocent man. We have no ties to Syria. We have no political allegiances either way. He was there trying to help the Syrian people who were caught up in the conflict over there, and just push for his relief, access to healthcare, to a doctor at least, to look at him and see how he is. It's been a year now, and any kind of border infringements of not having a visa, I think he's done his due to let him come home, where we've asked the Russians, the Russian government, who've we know had a hand in release of other refugees. We've tried to lobby them and made an appeal to them to help us, and it's really our government as well to make representations, and we pushed them initially when even earlier this year they were making contact with regards to the issues on chemical weapons, and we were saying if they could raise my brother in some sort of way in conversations with senior Syrian officials. And we've just not had any real assistance in getting him out. We've been placated a lot, but no real assistance. That's we're in a position whereby the family's got more information than any institution or government body.
And your mother is still there, obviously. Are you concerned for her?
Not a day goes by. You're not concerned about her. Well, we're not concerned about my mother. She's in constant danger to a certain extent in terms of she doesn't know anybody there. There are Damascus is still, although the city centre is relatively safe, the surrounding suburbs and the places he has to travel to, even to see my brother, it's a notoriously dangerous road. So she's in an active war zone, effectively, and I'm trying to stay in touch with her as much as I can, but anything could happen at any turn. Anytime we read the news that a bomb's gone off in Damascus or there's been a foreigner kidnapped, then it kind of your heart skips a beat and you have to brace yourself for the news you might be coming your way. And so it's been very distressful in that sense. But she's adamant that she doesn't want to come back without her son. I think any person or any mother can understand that when your child is in danger, she's kind of put her safety, made it a secondary issue, and wants to come home with him. And she's made that her kind of raison d'etre at the moment.